Listening to the Remain camp on the subject of the environment, one might almost come away with the idea that the EU had invented green policy.
Britain's former Environment Minister Owen Paterson giving a speech in London just a few days before the crucial referendum on EU membership. Paterson, who favours a Brexit, where Britain would leave the 28-member bloc, described how the predecessor to the EU, the European Economic Area, sought to have a common set of environmental rules. This was to prevent any one member gaining a trading advantage by maintaining less rigid environment standards. But he said while the policy looked good on paper, it's been impossible to apply the same rules across vastly different environments and terrains.
As an example, European regulation on landfill came about because of justified concerns about groundwater levels in the Low Countries, where it's naturally high. These were not appropriate for the hilly regions of Western and Northern Britain, but that didn't make any difference to the one-size-fits-all mentality in Brussels.
Paterson insisted that the UK had often been an early adopter of progressive environment regulations, but this was dismissed as nonsense by Matthew Spencer, the director of Green Alliance, a London-based environmental campaign group.
Well, that's just not true. I mean, we have been ahead of the curve on one or two things amongst 100 or so areas where we have environmental agreements with Europe. So he has a rather rose-tinted view of what the UK would have done without collaboration and cooperation with our European neighbours.
Earlier this year, Green Alliance, along with several other leading environment groups, issued a warning about the impact a Brexit would have on Britain's natural habitat. It said EU policy had protected the UK's water and air quality, protected wildlife, and set standards for vehicle emissions and consumer goods that have benefited the public and nature. Spencer acknowledged that the EU's positive contribution is not always plain for the eye to see, but one example is enjoyed by holidaymakers every summer.
Britain currently benefits from very high-quality beaches and bathing water, but we've gone through a process of 40 years of being dragged reluctantly to invest in our sewage treatment works. That dragging has largely come from the European Commission overseeing the Bathing Waters Directive, which we agreed to, but were then somewhat reluctant to incur the costs of delivering. Now we see our beaches in fine state and don't regret having spent that money at all, but individual governments have always found it difficult to justify. So it's really helped having a sort of wider agreement across Europe enforced by European law.
Meanwhile, Paterson, who has emerged as a key figure backing Britain leaving the EU, said he had his own experience of Brussels' inflexibility when trying to negotiate reforms to the Common Agriculture Policy, or CAP. At issue was a regulation which came into effect in 2015, which required farmers with more than 75 hectares of arable land to grow three different crops. Paterson said the rule was ridiculed across Europe.
Not only was this wholly unsuitable to the farming industry and landscape of the UK, it was impossible in Andalusia, where only olive trees will grow in July when it's 45 degrees, and likewise in northern Sweden, where only one spruce will grow in January where it is minus 45 degrees. The UK was consistently outvoted during the CAP negotiations, and we are obliged to accept highly unsatisfactory compromises, which in the case of the three-crop rule are actually damaging to the UK environment.
In financial terms, Brexit campaigners say Britain would save the equivalent of 11 billion euros a year, which it currently pays towards the EU budget. That figure also takes into account of the billions handed back to the country for agricultural subsidies and structural funds for poorer areas. While advocates of Britain leaving insist that farmers and the environment will still be prioritised, Green campaigners are not so sure. Sam Lowe is European Referendum Campaign Manager for Friends of the Earth.
As we've worked together, the Common Agriculture Policy has improved. It's now got Tier 2, which requires farmers to pursue projects, etc., that benefit the environment if they're to get the funding. And I think there's a big question over if British farmers would get subsidised at all. I think the UK Treasury had its way, it would get zero. But for them to survive, of course, they probably do need some. And that all of that would come into question, what those subsidies meant, what they were conditional on. It would all change. And I think there'd just be huge question marks around what this meant for our rural environment and for farming.
If Britain leaves the EU, European treaties provide for 2 years of negotiations of what to put in place of existing agreements. Many experts expect the UK to remain a member of the European Economic Area, striking similar deals to Norway and Switzerland. But nothing is certain at this stage, and Lowe says even this more favourable option would have far-reaching consequences for existing UK environment policy.
The Birds and Habitats Directive specifically would cease to apply, as would the bathing water directives. And the Birds and Habitats Directive offers great protection for nature across Europe, and the bathing water directive has implications for the cleanliness of beaches. And what we've seen from the Leave camp here is that they've been quite specific that they see, especially specifically the Birds and Habitats Directive, as a detriment. It's red tape that they want to get rid of.
But environment groups say the Birds and Habitats Directive has saved many threatened species. They claim the Leave campaign showed its true colours recently, when leaders vowed to do away with the EU's so-called precautionary principle, where decision makers avoid policies that could harm the public or environment. By doing so, Green campaigners say Britain will in future authorise dangerous pesticides. Friends of the Earth spokesman Lowe said Britain must not pull up the drawbridge at a time when urgent, far-reaching decisions need to be taken collectively.
If we are truly to address the challenges of the future, be it climate change, destruction of nature, air pollution, then we need to come together, we need to work together. And I think reducing our voice in the probably the most environmentally progressive grouping of nations in the world would be a negative both for us and globally.
Despite its importance, the consequences of a Brexit for the environment have received little media coverage over the past 4 months. It seems, however they vote, the British electorate will likely cast their ballot without giving the issue a second thought.